Greetings, Israelites. Welcome to Word Study with Brother Hebert. This is part 8 of Demons and Unclean Spirits. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Demons and Unclean Spirits can be found in the Word Study section. In part 7, we covered Mark 5, where we met Legion, who meets Jesus, and a whole herd of pigs drown because thousands of grotesque winged demons explode out of two wild men, shrieking and clawing through the air. They dive into 2,000 pigs, who foam at the mouth, grow red eyes, and charge into the sea like a stampede of possessed zombie boars. Villagers stand frozen, kids crying, "The end is here!" No one would ever walk by that graveyard again without wetting their robes, if that's what really happened. But instead of marinating in our own pew and taking some pulpit pimp's word for it, we put on our Berean study caps, and we learned that the Gadarene demoniac of Mark 5, 1-20 is no horror tale of invisible spirits. It's a symbolic portrayal of a man utterly dominated by destructive systems, social isolation, and inner torment. His name, Legion, signals Roman oppression and internal chaos. His dwelling among the tombs and cutting himself reflects Israel's spiritual exile and self-destruction. When Jesus expels the unclean spirit and restores the man to his right mind, the point isn't exorcism, it's liberation. The drowned swine dramatize the collapse of corrupt systems when confronted by truth. Yet the fearful townspeople ask Jesus to leave, preferring chains and profit over true healing. Still, the man is sent out, not just healed, but commissioned to witness what Yahweh has done. This scene echoes everything we've seen earlier. In Mark 1 and 3, the devils being cast out represent false teachings and oppressive influences, not literal entities. The 12 are appointed not to perform ghost-hunting rituals, but to preach truth and break spiritual bondage. And when the Pharisees accuse Jesus of casting out devils by Beelzebub, they expose their own blasphemy, calling the spirit's work unclean. From the synagogue demoniac to the man among tombs, the pattern is clear. The real battle is not with invisible monsters, but with corrupted minds, false religion, and the systems that keep God's people bound. We continue with the mission of the 12. Jesus sends the 12 disciples out in pairs, giving them power over unclean spirits and instructing them to travel light, relying on hospitality. They are to preach repentance, heal the sick, and cast out devils. Those who reject their message are to be left behind, with a symbolic act of shaking off the dust from their feet as a testimony against them. Mark 6:7, "And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by 2 and 2, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on 2 coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever you enter into an house, there abide until you depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them." Ezekiel 3:19.
"Yet if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul."
James 5:14. "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the assembly, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Unclean spirits, akathartos pneuma, G169 and 4151, often denotes corrupt influences, false teachings, or attitudes contrary to God's law.
Just believe.
Not literal supernatural entities. Devils, daimonion, G1140, used interchangeably in many passages with unclean spirits, pointing to manifestations of deception, rebellion, and carnal thinking. Authority, G1849, excusia, a delegated right or jurisdiction, showing Jesus empowering them to confront spiritual corruption. 2x2, reinforces biblical principles of witness and accountability, Deuteronomy 19:15. Dust shaking, public symbolic act of separation and judgment, indicating rejection of fellowship and responsibility for the hearer's unbelief.
Oh, I'm saved.
From a metaphorical first reading, Jesus equips his followers to confront the false systems and corrupt teachings that bind people. Their mission was not just about curing bodies, but liberating minds and communities from oppressive traditions, both Pharisaic and pagan. The casting out is the removal of lies, fear, and man-made decrees that oppose God's truth. From a literal first reading, common in traditional commentaries, these instructions are seen as primarily an authorization for exorcisms of real demons, with the metaphorical lessons on faith, humility, and reliance on God as secondary. No wonder our people are walking in darkness. The Syrophoenician Woman's Faith. Full details in Matthew 15:21-28, Part 5.
Ever since the Macedonian conquest, Greek became a common name for idolater, or at least one uncircumcised, and was equivalent to Gentile.
Mark 7:24. And from thence he arose, and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread, and to cast it unto the dogs. The Gentiles, which simply means nations, were reputed by the Judean people, and our Lord uses that form of speech which was common among his countrymen.
They gave the name of dogs to the heathen for their idolatry and other pollutions, by which they had degraded themselves from the rank of reasonable creatures. This appellation, therefore, marked the impurity of the Gentiles.
Joseph Benson Commentary. Verse 28. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Master, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go your way, the devil is gone out of your daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Isaiah 66:2.
For all these things are mine, says the Lord, and to whom will I have respect? But to the humble and the meek, and the man that trembles at my words.
Depending on how you group them, there are about 18 to 20 direct uses of dogs for people in the Old Testament and New Testament. They always mean unclean or impure, ritually, morally, sexually, enemies or oppressors, Psalm 22. Fools and apostates, Proverbs 26:11, 2 Peter 2:22. Outsiders to covenant blessings, Matthew 15, Revelation 22, and false teachers, Philippians 3:2, Isaiah 56. The Hollywood version, if demons were real. In a small Phoenician house, a little girl shrieks with a voice like a man. Her eyes glowing red, plates fly off the shelves. Furniture hurls across the room. Jesus walks in calmly while neighbors are hiding under their beds. When the spirit leaves, instead of quiet relief, there'd be international headlines. Monster child terrifies Tyre. The epileptic boy. This miracle is distinct from previous exorcisms because the central focus is not on the demon or the possessed individual, but on belief and unbelief, particularly in relation to the Father, the disciples, and the crowd. While the synagogue man and the Gadarene demoniac centered on symbolism and the Syrophoenician woman illustrated faith, this miracle explores the struggle of those who wish to believe but struggle with doubt. The broader theme of discipleship is emphasized, as this miracle takes place in a section of the gospel where spiritual blindness, deafness, and misunderstanding among Jesus' followers are key issues. Additionally, the miracle is directly linked to the Transfiguration, and its typology connects to the events at Mount Sinai, drawing parallels between Jesus, Moses, and the angel of the Lord. There's a pattern between exorcisms and healings. Exorcisms highlight Jesus' authority over oppressive powers, false doctrines, corrupt influences, unclean spirits. These never include a direct declaration of forgiveness. Healings with forgiveness emphasize restored relationship with God. Jesus openly declares sins forgiven or commands holy living. This distinction shows exorcism does not equal sin removal. Instead, it's about removing oppressive conditions so the person or community could then walk in God's truth. Mark 9:14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes disputing with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you disputing with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto you my son, which has a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he seizes him, he tears him, and he foams, and gnashes with his teeth, and pines away. And I spake to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." Even Jesus' own kinsmen were unbelieving. Verse 20, "And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." This seems to be a description befitting our entire race today, dumb and wallowing in the mud while awaiting their redemption. Just believers instead of true believers. Verse 23, "Jesus said unto him, If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Master, I believe. Help you my unbelief." The man did not believe the disciples could help his son. Verse 25, "When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, You dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. The miracle is directly linked to the Transfiguration, and its typology connects to the events at Mount Sinai, drawing parallels between Jesus, Moses, and the angel of the Lord. But first, let's cover these words. Unclean spirit, pneuma akatharton, G 4151 and G 169, literally unclean breath or wind, denoting moral or ceremonial impurity. In the Septuagint, often used for idolatrous influences, Zechariah 13:2, or false prophetic inspiration. Dumb, alalos, G 216, speechless, physically mute, but could also indicate one rendered silent by shock, fear, or mental affliction. Deaf, kophos, G 2974, literally deaf or dull of hearing, metaphorically slow to understand. Tareth, reso, G 4486, to convulse or throw down violently, also used of tearing clothing. Dahimonizomahi and dahimonion, not used in this verse, but parallel accounts, Matthew 17, 14-21 and Luke 9, 37-43, frame this as possession by a demon, using common first century terminology for severe, uncontrollable ailments. Historical and cultural context. In Judean thought of the first century, sudden seizures, muteness, and convulsions were often attributed to unclean spirits, an intersection of Hebrew impurity laws, pagan demonology, and folk explanations for illness. Greek dahimones were viewed as lesser spiritual beings, sometimes harmful, sometimes helpful. In Jewish polemic, the term came to be associated with false gods and harmful influences. The boy's symptoms match epileptic seizures. Matthew 17:15 explicitly says moonstruck, epileptic, though contemporaries described it in spiritual terms. Traditional view. The boy was literally possessed by an evil, supernatural spirit that causes muteness, deafness, and seizures. Jesus, by divine authority, commands the spirit to leave permanently, proving his supremacy over Satan's forces. The disciples' inability to cast it out is seen as a lack of faith or insufficient prayer and fasting. The biblical context view. The unclean spirit is figurative language for a crippling physical or mental condition, possibly compounded by oppressive societal and religious judgment, viewing the boy as cursed. The muteness and deafness symbolize spiritual blindness and inability to respond to God's word, often imposed by false teaching or unbelief. Jesus heals by restoring full function, both physically, speech and hearing, and socially, removing stigma. This kind, verse 29, refers not to a category of demons, but to particularly deep-seated conditions of unbelief or oppression that require persistent prayer and dependence on God to overcome. Key takeaways. The boy's possession is best understood as a severe, visible ailment described in the spiritual idiom of the day. Traditional demonology reads this literally. Our view identifies the core biblical message as Jesus' authority to free people from the power of affliction and unbelief. Prayer and fasting is not a magical formula against demons, but a discipline of dependence necessary for confronting entrenched spiritual blindness. The scene models how Jesus overturns fear-based superstition with faith-based restoration. The Transfiguration and the Epileptic Boy. This healing occurs immediately after the Transfiguration, creating a thematic link between divine glory and human struggle with faith. The structure of the narrative parallels Moses' descent from Mount Sinai after encountering God's presence. At Mount Sinai, Moses received the law, saw God's glory, and returned to find Israel faithless and rebellious, worshiping the golden calf. Similarly, after Jesus is transfigured, he descends to find a faithless crowd, a struggling father, and a group of disciples who lack the faith to cast out the demon. Jesus as the new Moses. The gospel narratives establish multiple connections between Moses at Sinai and Jesus after the transfiguration. Moses ascends Mount Sinai with elders, Exodus 24:1 and 9. Jesus ascends the mountain with three disciples, Mark 9:2. A cloud covers the mountain, Exodus 24:15. A cloud covers the mountain, Mark 9:7. A voice speaks from the cloud, Exodus 24:16. A voice speaks from the cloud, Mark 9:7. Moses descends with Joshua and encounters a rebellious people, Exodus 32:7. Jesus descends with his disciples and finds a faithless crowd, Mark 9:14. Moses' face shines from God's glory, Exodus 34:29. Jesus is transfigured, his face shining, Matthew 17:2. The people fear Moses' appearance, Exodus 34:30. The people are astonished at Jesus, Mark 9:15. Thus, Jesus is portrayed as a new Moses, but he is more than a prophet. He is also the angel of the Lord, leading a new Exodus. Jesus as the angel of the Lord. The Transfiguration presents Jesus in a glorified state, similar to the divine appearances of the angel of Yahweh in the Old Testament. The disciples see his glory, Luke 9:32, echoing Isaiah's vision of the Lord, Isaiah 6:1, John 12:41. Additionally, Moses and Elijah appear to speak with Jesus about his upcoming exodus, Luke 9:31. This exodus typology extends to the epileptic boy miracle, emphasizing redemption, faith, and divine authority. Just as Israel doubted God's power after leaving Egypt, here we see doubt from the father of the boy who struggles to believe, the disciples who cannot cast out the demon, the crowd who lack faith. Jesus, as the antitypical angel of the Lord, comes to lead his people from spiritual bondage, not just physical oppression. The condition of the epileptic boy. The boy is described in two ways. One, his condition, moonstruck, deaf, and dumb, which symbolizes Israel's spiritual blindness. Two, his behavior, which aligns with God's historical punishments on Israel. Symbolism of the boy's condition. Each gospel describes his affliction differently. Matthew, he is moonstruck, meaning epileptic, but the term also alludes to moon worship, a form of idolatry, Deuteronomy 4:19. Mark, he has a dumb and deaf spirit, representing spiritual deafness and refusal to hear God's word, Isaiah 30:9 and Ezekiel 3:26. Luke, he is afflicted by an unclean spirit, connecting to Israel's impurity through idolatry, Ezekiel 36:25. Together, these descriptions suggest that the boy represents Israel, who worshipped false gods, idolatry, refused to listen to the prophets, spiritual deafness, was unable to speak truth, spiritual dumbness. Symbolism of the boy's behavior. The boy's symptoms mirror God's punishments for Israel's sins. Symptom: falls into fire and water. Old Testament connection: God's judgments through fire, Exodus 9:23, and water, Psalm 66:12, Isaiah 43:2. Symptom: torn by the demon. Old Testament connection: Israel torn by foreign nations, Hosea 6:1. Symptom: cast down to the ground. Old Testament connection: Israel cast down by judgment, Jeremiah 8:12. Symptom: withers away. Old Testament connection: Israel withered due to rebellion, Isaiah 40:7 and Ezekiel 19:12. Thus, the boy represents Israel suffering under divine discipline, awaiting redemption. The father's faith and the crowd's unbelief. When Jesus arrives, the crowd rushes to him, and the father pleads for his son's healing. The father's plea is central to the theme of belief and unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help you mine unbelief. This reflects Israel's historical failure to trust God.
How long will it be ere they believe me, for all the signs which I have showed among them?
Numbers 14:11. The father's struggle is symbolic of Israel's partial faith, believing in God in theory, but struggling with full trust in him. Jesus' frustration is also symbolic. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? This echoes Moses' complaint about Israel's stubbornness. They are a perverse and crooked generation, Deuteronomy 32:5. Thus, the miracle serves as a rebuke to Israel's faithlessness. The exorcism and the aftermath. Jesus commands the demon to leave and never return, fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy.
I will cause the unclean spirit to pass out of the land.
Zechariah 13:2. The boy appears dead afterward, but Jesus raises him up. This prefigures Israel's spiritual resurrection, as described in Ezekiel's vision of dry bones, Ezekiel 37. The disciples question, why could we not cast it out? After the exorcism, Jesus tells his disciples, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. This alludes to Daniel and Nehemiah, who fasted and prayed for Israel's restoration, Daniel 9:3 and Nehemiah 1:4. The disciples lacked faith and devotion, reinforcing the lesson of belief versus unbelief. Don't forget, just before this, the disciples were arguing over as to who was the greatest of them, giving way to the devil who desired to sift them as wheat, which simply means that the diabolos carnal nature, ego, within them removed them from brotherly love to performance-based faith, which is what the reference to 1 Corinthians 13:2 was speaking about. Conclusion. This miracle does not establish a doctrine of demons. Rather, it uses symbolism to depict Israel's spiritual state. The boy's affliction equals Israel's idolatry and punishment. The father's struggle equals Israel's partial faith. The healing equals Jesus' redemptive work. The message is clear. Israel must replace doubt with true faith in Jesus Christ to be restored and redeemed. If you don't understand who you are and whose you are, then these passages are not going to resonate with you. These passages are about us, Anglo-Saxon Caucasian Yisra'el. It is our people, our nation, our kindred nations that are drowning in denominational idolatry. Our people have partial faith.
Just believe.
It is our nation and people who are demonized by religious, social, and political unclean spirits. It's time to wake up, O Israel. Another Exorcist. Mark 9:14-29, which describes a boy with symptoms resembling epilepsy, is labeled as an exorcism, but Matthew explicitly calls it epilepsy, seleniadsatahi, reinforcing a medical rather than supernatural interpretation. Mark 9:38, and John answered him, saying, Teacher, we saw one casting out devils in your name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him because he followed not us. John assumes literal demons exist. Jesus does not correct this belief, but instead redirects the focus to the importance of allegiance to his mission. This suggests that Jesus was more concerned with the spread of his message than with addressing misconceptions about demons. Verse 39, But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. Devils, G1140, Dahimonion, meaning an idol, heathen god, or in New Testament usage also false gods, unclean spirits, or the effects of idolatry and false doctrine. Derived from Dahimon, G1142. Philippians 1:15-18, Paul rejoices that Jesus Christ is preached, even by those with imperfect motives. Acts 19:13-17, contrast with false exorcists who misuse Jesus' name without true faith. Key takeaways. The kingdom is bigger than one's personal group. God uses different vessels to accomplish his will. Casting out devils can be understood as liberating people from lies, idols, and oppressive spiritual systems. Jesus appears to Mary of Magdala. Mark 16:9. Now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Luke 8:2. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Differences. Timing. Luke records her healing during Jesus' ministry. Mark recalls it after the resurrection. Setting. Luke lists her with other women healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mark isolates her deliverance as her being identified in connection with the resurrection. Emphasis. Luke stresses her inclusion among Jesus' female supporters. Mark emphasizes her honored role as first witness to the risen Lord. She had done things she should not have done as an Israelite, a daughter of Yahweh. She had stopped worshiping, had not followed the customs of her own people, and these sort of things. Isaiah 11:2, And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Yahweh. The seven spirits of Yahweh. The spirit of Yahweh, wisdom, understanding, counsel, meaning purpose, advice, the plan. Might, meaning strength and mighty deeds, knowledge, and fear, meaning reverence. Mary of Magdala was filled with seven spirits contrary to the seven virtues, as a spirit without fear, without knowledge, without might, without counsel, without understanding, without wisdom, and without the Spirit of the Lord. Traditional view. Mary Magdalene is often interpreted as having been possessed by seven literal demons. The number seven is seen as denoting the severity or completeness of her possession. In this reading, Jesus performs a literal exorcism, freeing her from supernatural evil beings. Biblical context view. The term devils here is G1140, dahimonion, which in Greek culture referred to unseen spirits, but in biblical usage often points to idolatrous influence, false doctrine, or moral corruption. The seven can signify completeness or fullness, positive or negative, here referring to total spiritual bondage, complete domination by falsehood, sin, or mental and spiritual oppression. Luke's account adds that she was healed of evil spirits and infirmities, terms which, when combined, indicate a condition of moral and physical affliction, rather than a supernatural entity inhabiting her. The parallel to Isaiah 11:2, sevenfold spirit of the Lord, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear of Yahweh, and delight in him, strengthens the contrast. Mary had been filled with the opposite, a fullness of moral corruption, spiritual blindness, and social bondage, until Jesus replaced it with fullness of truth and righteousness. G1140, dahimonion, properly divinity in pagan Greek, used in the New Testament for false gods, idols, and their corrupting influence. G4151 and G4190, evil spirit. Spirit, meaning mind, disposition, or breath, that is poneros, meaning morally corrupt, injurious, and harmful. 7. Symbolic of completeness or totality, whether of holiness, Isaiah 11:2 and Revelation 5:6, or corruption, Luke 11:26. 7 worse spirits returning to a man or woman, picturing complete moral relapse. Isaiah 4:4, cleansing from filth by the spirit of judgment. John 8:32, the truth sets free from bondage. 1 Corinthians 6:11, you are washed, sanctified, justified. Key takeaways. Mary Magdalene's deliverance was not just physical or social, but spiritual. Jesus Christ replaced her fullness of corruption with fullness of righteousness. The seven devils highlight the total grip of falsehood and sin, broken only by the authority of God's Word. This fits the broader New Testament pattern of devils, signifying spiritual oppression through lies, corruption, and ungodly systems, not literal fallen spirits inhabiting people. None of the traditional commentators, Barnes, Gill, JFB, Spurgeon, etc., reverse the interpretive hierarchy. They all treat the biblical account as literal historical exorcism of personal demons first, then layer in metaphor, spiritual analogy, or application afterwards. They do not make the metaphor the primary meaning, with the literal serving as a literary wrapper to shield the spiritual truth. And this is why our people are walking in darkness. It's by design. Jesus commissions the disciples, Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Devils, G1140, from Dahimonion, meaning spirit, God, inferior deity, in biblical context often refers to idols, Deuteronomy 32:17, 1 Corinthians 10:20, and the false religious systems or teachings tied to them. Figuratively, it points to false doctrines and spiritual deception being cast out. Serpents, G3789, is Opus, and is the religion of worshiping Lucifer's divine wisdom. The compound word take up is G142, Ario. It means to take away. Drink any deadly thing is not literal. Likely metaphorical for resisting and refuting destructive doctrines without spiritual damage. 2 Kings 4:40-41. Jesus was telling his disciples they would take away the Luciferian doctrine from Israel by teaching his glorious plan for spiritual salvation. This passage, possibly a later addition, reflects early Christian practices rather than Jesus' explicit teaching. From these additions to Mark come many bad ideas, such as the idea that Christians should be able to handle snakes and drink poisons, and even speak in so-called tongues. Our God is not the author of confusion. Historical and cultural context. In the first century, Dahimonia was common Greek for spirits associated with pagan gods, fate, or misfortune. New Testament writers often used the term in the common vernacular but redefined it within Israel's covenant context, turning focus from supernatural beings to spiritual corruption and idolatry. Similar symbolic protection imagery appears in Psalm 91:13, "You shall tread upon the lion and adder." Parallels and cross-references reveal, for example, in Luke 10:19, authority over serpents and scorpions is symbolic of enemies and deceivers. Acts 28:3-6, Paul's encounter with a literal viper, he was unharmed. Isaiah 11:8-9, messianic imagery of safety from serpent harm, serpent being false doctrine. Psalm 91:13, dominion over dangerous creatures as symbolic victory over evil.
Synagogue Shocker. A man with an unclean spirit interrupts the synagogue.
Hollywood version.
Imagine Sabbath service, the cantor chanting peacefully, when suddenly a man levitates in midair. His face contorts, his eyes rolling white, and a dozen shrieking voices come screaming out of him. Benches overturn, sandals abandoned, shawls fly, mothers faint. The whole synagogue flees in panic. Instead of marveling at Jesus' teachings, the town would have declared the place cursed and burned it down. Unclean spirits. Just as spirit means breath, so does unclean spirit signify foul breath. which are words in opposition to those of God. The man with an unclean spirit, Luke 4:31, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. The synagogues were not teaching his doctrine, they were teaching Judeo-Christianity. Verse 33, and in the synagogue there was a man, which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone! What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.
It is probable that this man had lucid intervals, or he would not have been admitted into the synagogue. When there, one of his fits came on, and he suddenly cried out.
Verse 35, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold your peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this! For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Unclean spirit, pneuma akatharton, G4151 and G169. Literally, spirit, and unclean or impure, often used in the Septuagint for idolatrous practices or moral defilement. Zechariah 13:2, Hosea 4:12. Rebuked, epitomeo, G2008, to admonish, warn, or command with authority, used for silencing wind and waves and human opposition. Come out, exercomahi, G1831, to depart, used both literally and metaphorically, for example, evil words coming out of the mouth, Matthew 15:18. Interpretation, the traditional view. Literal demonic possession, an actual evil spirit inhabits the man. Jesus demonstrates divine authority by casting it out instantly. The scene validates his power as Messiah and reveals his kingdom's superiority over Satan's forces. Biblical context view. The unclean spirit represents the defiled, corrupting influence of false teaching and sin embedded in the synagogue itself. The man's disruptive outburst mirrors the challenge of entrenched religious authority resisting Jesus' teaching. The rebuke symbolizes the word of God silencing corrupt spiritual influence. Coming out pictures the removal of oppressive, deceiving authority from the community. We see in Zechariah 13:2, Yahweh promises to cause the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Hosea 4:12, spirit of whoredoms leads people astray. False worship is described as a spirit. Key takeaways. Jesus' authority exposes and drives out the defiling influence in religious spaces. The term unclean spirit is deeply tied to Old Testament prophetic imagery of idolatry and corruption, not supernatural beings. The miracle acts as both physical deliverance and symbolic reform, freeing God's people from the grip of false spiritual leadership. Healings at Simon's house, Luke 4:38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, You are Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. The fever and devils represent conditions of physical ailment and spiritual oppression, rooted in social, religious, or moral corruption. The daimonia are linked to false gods, destructive traditions, or oppressive influences afflicting people physically and spiritually. The silencing emphasizes that Jesus will not allow truth to be proclaimed by corrupt or illegitimate sources, even if they speak accurately about his identity. In biblical thought, illness was often tied to impurity and sin, John 9:2. The use of daimonion reflects common cultural language for unseen causes of suffering, but its Old Testament roots point to idolatrous or corrupting influences, rather than cosmic rebel spirits. Healing thus symbolizes restoration to covenant wholeness, physical, social, and spiritual. Key takeaways. Jesus' healing ministry addresses both the body and the soul, removing the grip of corrupt influences. The silence of devils, false proclaimers, reinforces the principle that God's truth must come from pure vessels. The connection to the Old Testament usage of daimonion anchors these events in the language of idolatry and covenant restoration, not supernatural exorcism. The Hollywood version would look like this. Picture the whole village pouring into the street, people contorted, eyes bulging, shrieking in strange tongues. Some crawl like spiders, others foam and bite. Flames flare from rooftops as spirits leap out like fiery bats. By dawn, Capernaum looks like the set of a zombie apocalypse.